Saw Sarah's message, and I thought it was a really timely. It's a really timely encouragement, and so there's two things I want to hopefully hit on this morning if we have time, but I want to begin there. And the question is what will you do? What will you do if Trump wins on Tuesday? I think this is something we need to think about and talk about. What will you do if Biden wins? How will your life change? What will be the condition of your heart and your mind and what you do following Tuesday? Now, it's probably not going to be following Tuesday because the reality is this is going to, probably going to take months to sort itself out.
They won't allow it.
Everybody's jockeying. So, but don't miss the point. If Trump wins, is it God allowing us as Christians a longer time of peace and prosperity as believers and followers of Christ to continue to live the American dream for at least 4 more years? Because that's a temptation. That's a temptation on our part as believers, right? Is that if Trump were to win, and win convincingly, and that, you know, whatever, however the case may be, but if Trump was to win, there's a temptation for us to sit back and breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, thank you, God. And that we have this view and this mentality, especially as American Christians, that, okay, you know, I get to carry on, you know, things are just going to carry on, and we've got a strong leader on our behalf now, and it can move us in a certain direction. It can move us in a certain way. If Biden wins, is it the end of freedom and peace as Christians? Is that what that's going to mean for us? Is that what's, and I'm talking about what's in our mind, and sometimes even subconsciously, right? Because I got to tell you, just be honest with you, you know, my outlook on this is that, you know, it's going to be a miracle if Trump wins. And there's been times in my heart and mind that I begin to think about, and I'm not consciously doing it. I'm not actively thinking about it, but you might even find it in your prayers, right? That it comes out in your prayers, that it comes out in your thoughts to God, that's just going to be it. That's the end. This is despair and hopelessness. So is that what it means for us, the end of freedom and peace as Christians, a time for fear and trepidation for what is right around the corner, for what's sure to come? Is it time to fight the good fight as America and American Christianity would define it? Because that's the other thing that can happen to us, right, is that we get this militant mindset. And I don't mean militant in the form of American militias, but we get this militant mindset that we have to fight this administration, fight what's happening at all cost, and we set our minds to it, and we set our thoughts to it every day, and we listen to the radio, and we listen to the pro people, and we fight against the anti people, and you know, and it moves us and it drives us. And the reality is that neither of these should ever be the case for us as believers. And so I thought Sarah's word was very timely, in that it's a good time right now on Sunday before Tuesday ever shows up and everything and all the ramifications that are going to come after Tuesday, that we set our minds and our hearts now on who we will be and who we are and what we're called to. And so I just wanted to take a minute this morning. This is hopefully not all we're going to talk about, but I wanted to take a minute this morning and morning and address this. And that is, be sure and understand that every government, nation, and culture that has risen and fallen throughout all of history has done so because it was allowed or even orchestrated by God for one purpose alone. And Tuesday, the purpose is not going to be any different. And whatever happens after Tuesday, the same, if this nation continues as it has or it falls like we've never imagined it could, it's all for the same purpose. It's all for the same intent as every other nation, even greater than our own. The Roman Empire, you know, the empires of the Old Testament that conquered vast swaths of the entire world. And as great as they were and as much as they brought to the world. But it'll be the same purpose. And that's that his purpose and his will might be accomplished in exalting his name and the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And it will be absolutely no different now. Whether Trump wins and we feel like, well, we've got a reprieve for a time, the purpose of God has not changed. And it's not so that we can fatten ourselves and grow complacent and stagnant in our place, in our church, and in our community here in Baton Rouge and in our nation. And if Biden wins and darkness falls on this nation and begins to fall on this world, which it surely will, it's not so that we can cower and hide. It's not so that we can complain and lament and worry and wonder what's going to happen next and how long will it take. And it's still so that God, the one true God, and Him who He has sent might be glorified, might be magnified. And we need to set our hearts and minds on that right now and push everything else out, all the other things that would creep in. And guys, as Americans, a lot's going to creep in because we have rights as Americans, right? We have things that are owed to us, that are promised to us by our Constitution. And I'm all for that. I'm all for that. Those are things that I would not lay down lightly. But if those are what rule and reign in our minds, then we will miss what God intends to do in this time as He has all throughout the ages. And it may be the last time. I believe it is. I believe we've had that conversation a lot. No matter if Trump wins or if Biden wins, it's still the last hours. It's still that. Look, 6 months, if Trump wins 6 months later, it could still be, here comes the Antichrist and the tribulation, and everything comes upon us swiftly, just as Christ said, as a thief in the night. Everybody making merry, peace, you know, crying peace, and I forget how it says it. You know, let us eat, drink, and be merry. And so it doesn't change that. And so I don't want us to do that. And I believe this is a good time to remind ourselves of what Lee has preached before, that we do not take our lives out of context. Even in the context of our American nation and its political structure and its social structure, that we cannot take our lives out of context. Tuesday does not change one iota what God has in store for our lives. As born-again believers, as lights of the gospel, it doesn't change it anyway, any form or fashion. The next 4 years, and you think, oh my goodness, the next 4 years, because that's how we think in terms of elections. Oh, the next 4 years, it's either going to be great or it's going to be terrible. Oh my God. That's taking your life out of context. It's not how God sees us. It's not how God sees this. This is a blip. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, it's a blip on the map for God. And I mean, he's looking at all of time, and he's still looking at the end where he is seeking and will exalt Christ above everything else and will draw all the nations, turn all the nations either in hatred and scorn, as Revelation tells us some will, or in adoration to turn them all to see Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. That's what he's going to continue to do. So do not take your life out of context, even as a citizen of this great God-founded and ordained country, and lose sight of the only thing that has even and will ever matter. And so, well, okay, that's a lot of words, but what does the Word of God say? And this is what I want us to remember in the next few days and in the days after that to come. In Romans 13, verse 1, and you're probably very familiar with this passage when you begin to hear it. But Paul says, and we're not going to go, look, I don't want to have an exhaustive, this is not an exhaustive study on the Christian's role in political and social activism, all right? So this is not what we're talking about today. The intent of this is to set our hearts on what really matters and to make sure we're steadfast on that. But Paul in Rome, because this Paul goes into, there's a lot that could be discussed in this passage, but we're going to pull out something specific. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. This is what I want you to gather from this. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Well, there it is. So what does Tuesday matter? Don't get me wrong. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to vote. Paul says, as much as it is possible with us, be at peace with all men. Pray for the authorities. Pray for the governing bodies. We are to have a part. So I'm not saying that. But in the end, once we've done our part, once we've done what God has called us to do, and once we've voted with God in mind and with a godly conscience and based upon His Word, then this doesn't change. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. And I love what Jesus says to Pilate in John when he tells him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. That's where we stand today, and that's where we're going to stand on November 4th. And it's where we're going to stand on July 4th, 2021. We're going to stand in the same place, and we need to walk in the same place. And Paul goes on to say, therefore, whoever resists the authorities, resists what God's at a point, and he gives us all these instructions. And again, I don't want to go into that this morning. It would probably be maybe a good topic for one of our Thursday nights, because it may come to that. You know, it may come to a place where we really need to understand, all right, now that these things are taking place in our country, how do we react as Christians? What do we do? What is our place in this God-given country? It'd probably be a good discussion, but I don't want to focus on that this morning. In Matthew 28:18, and this is something that should give us comfort, not just comfort, but power in this time. Power and joy. In 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So it doesn't matter who takes up authority in America following November 3rd. It doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, in the overall scheme, it does not matter, because Christ still has all authority under heaven and on earth. And there's nothing that can supplant that, nothing that can overthrow that. And Jesus says, and he says in verse 19, go therefore. And that command is not going to change. And I love that Jesus says, go therefore. The therefore is saying, because I have all authority and have all power, it's been given to me under heaven, under earth, or on earth, all of that is mine. Because of that, it doesn't matter if Trump is president. It doesn't matter if Biden's president. It doesn't matter who has control of the Senate. It doesn't matter who has control of House of Representatives. It doesn't matter who has control in the Middle East. It doesn't matter who has control in Asia. It doesn't matter if China becomes a world power. I still have all authority. And because of that, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to make disciples. I want you to exalt and proclaim my name and what I've done and who I am. And nothing's going to change that from day to day. Nothing's going to change that from moment to moment. And in fact, I would argue, and I've had some conversations with people about this, that if Biden were to win, oh man, what an opportunity to let the light of Christ shine all the more. For Jesus Christ to be the last beaming light left in this nation. And not just the generic American church version, but the kind that says, it doesn't matter what's happening around me. Jesus Christ, I serve Jesus Christ, He who lives in me. And Jesus gives us this comfort at the end of that, and He says, I am with you always. And that doesn't change again on Tuesday or Wednesday. It doesn't change. He's still with us, always. We're still serving in the same way. And then I just think Paul says it so well in Titus, and then we're going to move to a different subject. In Titus chapter 3, listen to what he says, and think about this. Think about, I could almost see Paul saying this, if he were here today, that he would write this to First New Testament and all the other churches if Biden wins office. If we wake up Wednesday morning and we turn on the TV and it's just a landslide and Biden is now our president and the Senate is now Democratic as well, and that it's all done. It's all finished. I can imagine Paul writing this to us and saying this to us. Remind them, that's us, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Now, I want you to notice what Paul is speaking to here, what he's really pointing to here, what he's wanting them to grasp. It's not the submissiveness to rulers and authorities. It's not that he just wants us to be subservient in every way. But if you get the context of this, he wants nothing to hinder the gospel. He wants the gospel to shine all the greater. He wants the gospel to be all the more exalted. Because he's writing this to people that are way worse subjugated than we are today. I mean, you're talking about a people that are watching friends and neighbors being burned at the stake, being paraded in coliseums, and torn to shreds for entertainment, and where they have no voice and no rights, even when it comes to taxes and, you know, those things. I mean, they're squashed in every way. They're beaten down in every way. There's no freedom. That's who he's writing us to. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 13 as well. He goes back to that in Romans 13 when he's talking about all these things. He says it's about doing good. Do good in this time. To speak evil of no one. Ooh, that's going to be tough, right? But again, think of Paul writing this to us right now. Well, Paul, you don't understand. I mean, God, if you've seen these guys, Paul was dealing with people that were way more unbound in their wickedness than we are. Speak evil of no one. And this is our neighbors too, not just about the administrations, our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our family. No, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. And the context of this, again, is this subjection, this submissiveness. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. And we forget this right now. I forget this verse all the time. I get so disgusted with some of these people. And I get so high and mighty and so righteous and so elevated above them all. And Paul says, hey, don't forget. Don't forget where you came from. This is you. This is what's in your heart. This is what's in your mind, except for the grace of Christ. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy. God, think about it. When I read these things and I think about what we see in these protests and these burnings and these, we look and we go, God, you know, put them down. And I'm not saying there's not law and order, but in our hearts, we're like, if we could just get rid of these people, oh, how much better would our nation be? Paul says, don't forget, this is where we were, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and the loving kindness, and this is what Christ wants to bring in this time, of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There's a lot packed in that right there. He's reminding us this is why we've been saved and set free, so that we can turn and give it to everyone else in turn. The same people that we were, that we see out there now, that we were, and we want to give it to them. But then he ends it there, that it's our hope. It's our hope. This is what we're hoping in. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. So Paul's saying, there's no option for us. You don't get to decide, no, I'm gonna continue. I'm American, you know, and I love that feeling, you know, especially when I travel the world. I love the feeling of being American. But you don't have the option to say, well, no, I'm American, and I'm not going to allow this stuff to happen. And I'm not, you know, I'm not putting up with this, and I'm not, well, however it may come out of you, you don't have that option. Paul says, insist on this. Insist on this is the way that we act, on this is the way we conduct ourselves, on this is what we remember who we are. But insist on this, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves. Be careful to devote themselves to good works. He brings us back to that. Don't be caught up in everything that's around you. To devote yourselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Not our activism. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law. For they are unprofitable and worthless. And so I just want to encourage us in that this morning and remind us of that this morning, that is where we stand. That's who we are. God is still in control. He still is. Whoever's in power, it's because he's allowed them to be in power. He set them in power. And it's for the good of Christ. It's for the cause of Christ. In the end, in the grand scheme of history, of all of history, it's so that Jesus Christ will be seen and exalted by all. And known by all. And that we can have comfort and peace because he still, all authority and all power has been given to Christ. It's his. And our call is still the same, that because he has all of that, to go out and preach the gospel and the good news. And Paul would come back and say, let me give you some very detailed ways that we're going to handle this. No matter what happens and no matter who's in power, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves as born-again believers and followers of Jesus Christ, to whom ourselves have been set free from what we see around us. And so be encouraged. Don't face Tuesday with a sense of dread. And look, don't get me wrong. It depends on how it goes. Sure, I could be very disappointed that this is what has happened to my country. So I'm not saying that, but I'm not going to allow it to move my heart. I'm not going to allow it to change my mind. I'm not going to allow it to distract me from whom I serve and what he desires for me to do. And we don't need to do the same. And now we were just singing songs this morning in choir and practice, and there was just some lines that stuck out to me, jumped out at me as we're singing it. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, though Christ in me. The race is the same. Our race hasn't changed. Maybe there'll be some more hurdles in the way. Maybe it'll look a little different from here on out. But the race is still the same. It's not I, but Christ in me. So I will rise and lift my head, for by his mercy my life was spared. The highest name has set me free. Because of Jesus, my heart is clean. And it made me think about what Jesus told the disciples. He says, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. This is what we rejoice in. This is what we stand in. So don't get caught up like the rest of the world's going to. Don't get caught up like much of the church is going to, and be lost in this and be distracted in this and be downcast because of this and whatever else may come of it. We have a greater promise and a greater calling, and we have to stand steadfast in that. So that's the first part of this morning. So this is kind of a two-part of this morning, but I was just stirred to remind us of that. And so thank you for speaking and sharing that with us. And she's right. You get to choose. Nothing's forced upon you. So you get to choose. You get to elect, as she cleverly put it, how you're going to be. And so nothing is forced upon you. Even if things are actually forced upon us in law and other things, you're still free in Christ. So, yep. Amen.
And made that sacrifice and they chose to praise me through just so much uncertainty. So.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Anything else anybody wants to share before we move on? All right. So something else that Lee just wanted me to encourage you guys in this morning. I usually do this once or twice a year anyhow, because it is a good reminder for us. And in these times, it's especially a good reminder for us, because I know it's been hard for a lot of people. And it may get, you know, I think the effects of COVID and its impact on our economy and on us have still yet to be fully realized. I still think there's some other things that can be coming. In fact, it was interesting. ExxonMobil just announced, for the first time since I've been with them for 23 years, almost 24 years, and some guys have been with them longer, can't remember it, the last time that ExxonMobil has announced layoffs, forced layoffs. And they've already implemented it in Europe, and they just announced to us this week in America what's going to happen. And it was interesting. We were having a meeting with a lot of my com in this network of people, and we were having this meeting. I don't have a lot of time, but we were in this meeting. And one of the guys, we use this thing called Mentimeter or Slido, where you can post comments anonymously. They'll ask a question, then you post it, and it appears on the screen, and you can see. And so the question was, how is everybody feeling? And they gave us like five choices, and let me see if I can just pull this up real quick, so I can get this right. But they gave us five choices, and I was really, even though I know they're lost and stuff, I was still shocked. The majority of people, I took a screenshot of it. The majority of people said, "I'm doing okay, I guess." That was the largest answer. The next largest answer, and this is for well-paid, you know, "I'm starting to struggle," was the next largest group. So out of a group of about 25 of us on there, eight of them said, "I'm doing okay, I guess." Six of them, no one said, "I'm doing great." Three people said, "I'm doing pretty good." Six people said, "I'm starting to struggle." Two people said, "I'm having a hard time." And one person said, "I'm really not in a good place at all." And I was like, wow, that's incredible. And it just reminded me that COVID is hitting us all. And it's hitting, and again, I'm talking about professionals that have great jobs and secure, you know, up to this point, were secure jobs. And so it can hit us all. And one area that I don't want us to be affected, and that I don't want us to be changed and moved, again, don't take your life out of context, is in our giving. And guys, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it in your heart. The world, look, and even with the election, you know, if things don't go the way we want, and our taxes all of a sudden, we become like England, and 50 to 60% of our paycheck is going into taxes every month, which is not absurd with what we've heard, but it doesn't change what God has called us to. God loves a cheerful giver. And when Lee was encouraging me in this, or when he started talking about this, my mind, I wanted to do something different than I normally do, of just going through the scriptures of this is why we do it. But it reminded me of this passage, and I thought on this in Luke chapter 7, and just turn there with us and read this. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Because this is what I want us to stick in our hearts in this time. Because you may be feeling it, and it may be real. I mean, guys, it may be, you may really be under the pinch. It may be like nothing you've experienced before. And if it's not now, it may be in a few months. It may be in a year. But one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the anointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loves little." And so, guys, I just, a very simple message in this regard this morning, and that is, we have been forgiven and loved much. And nothing changes that. Not our job, or a lack of job, or what our job is like, or, you know, or what financial things hit us. A hurricane destroys our home. A hurricane wipes this out. A storm does this. It doesn't change it. And so I would remind us this morning that our giving, so don't take your life out of context. Don't let the circumstances that surround your life, whether it be your job or storms or natural destruction or even oh my goodness, I'm storing up for what's coming because it's about to get bad. So let me hoard, let me gather in. That's wise, right? That's not bad thing. I mean, the ants, there's some wisdom in these things. But that it moves us and it changes us and we forget why we give in the first place. We give because we've been given to. We give because we have been loved much. We give because we've been forgiven much. What she gave at this moment was as much a physical offering as it was an emotional and soulful offering. When she gave, when she took that alabaster jar and she poured it out, she poured out what many believe to be a year's wages. For her, that's year's wages for anyone in that day, or for the commoner in that day. For a woman of her place in society, it may have been her entire family heirloom. It may have been passed on. It may have been all that she had, even more so than the widow's mites. But it was a very real offering that she gave, a very physical offering, a very tangible monetary offering that she gave to Christ that day. And I don't want us to be any different. And we don't have to be any different. I love when Jesus sits there at the box and they're bringing in their tithes and their offerings, you know. And again, I'll remind you that's how they used to do it in the old days, right? Even in the days of Israel, that once a year when they would bring in this offering, I mean, they would load it up on the cart, right? They would pile it on, or maybe it's in a basket. But either way, they did it. They did it in this way, and they brought it, and it gave them a physical view of how God has blessed me. Wow, when I pile all this stuff up, when I put all this in, even if they had nothing, but they still filled this basket up, they go, wow, I've got nothing, and yet look at what God has given me to give back to Him today. And that widow, you know, on that day when Jesus is watching, you know, that's what He's saying. And she is one that realized she's been given much and loved much because she gave everything. She gave all. It didn't matter to her that she didn't have, you know, two nickels to rub together. Well, I've got this. And if I've got this, I've got something to give. And I'm going to give it. And we shouldn't be any different. I don't want us to be any different. And it does not mean that you suffer in silence, right? You come, you share your needs with the body. That's what we're here for. We're here to minister. We're here to love. And that's why our giving is all the more important. Because it's not just about keeping the lights on in this building. It's way more about serving the body of Christ. It's way more about taking care of one another. And I can assure you that a lot of what we give in this church goes to that. And so I just want us to be reminded of that. And I want it to be out of a cheerful, joyous heart that we give. And that we find it, even when it's hard, even when we don't have much left. And I've thought about it. I've thought about it in this time. I've thought, what if I lose my job tomorrow? What if Exxon calls me up? My boss calls me up and says, hey, I need to talk to you about something. There was a twinge in there of, ugh, you know, that would be bad. But I can honestly say, and it's not because just the promises of God and that I know He's going to care for me, but I also thought, I've been faithful to you, Father. Not that I wouldn't lose my job, that He's not going to allow me to lose my job, but I've been faithful to give. And I know, because of what you said in your word, that that's a memorial before you. And you won't forget me. There's no way you'll forget me. There's no way. My life may change. The way we live might change. My house might get a lot smaller, and the food I ate might get a lot, you know, I might move down to Beanie Weenies again. That's okay. And you know, so I might be stuffing that in all the time, but I'm not going to forget to give. I'm not going to forget what He's given me. And I'm not going to allow my life to be taken out of context. I'm not going to take my own life out of context and forget all those things. Let us be as the widow. Let us be as the woman. And let us give everything that we have, no matter what, in these times. And let us encourage one another to do the same. So, because that hasn't changed. God, our provider, has not changed. And I'll remind you again that none of His promises of provision, none of His promises of supplying every one of our needs is dependent on our ability and what we do. or the job that we have or any of those things. It's just not. It's not in Scripture. If you find it, please let me know, because I don't want to be a fool proclaiming that all the time. But it's not. It's not in there. Father, we thank you for this time this morning, Lord. And God, we do thank you that you have given us so much. And I pray that none of us would be moved away from that, and that we would all continue to be cheerful givers, even when it's down to all that we have left in this world, that alabaster jar, or even when it's just these 2 pennies, and it's all we've got left to rub together, that we would be glad to give it. We would rejoice in giving it. It would be our pleasure that even if tomorrow is the end, well, we've given everything unto the one who's given everything to us. And then God, that we would be steadfast in the one who holds all authority and who gives all authority. And not just steadfast in that, not just that we'd have peace in that, but that we rejoice in that. And as we rejoice in that, that we would be all the more bold and all the more fixed on going and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, on letting the light of Jesus Christ shine in us, and not getting sidetracked and stirred up and tied up in the affairs and the cares of this world. We would obey you in what you've called us to do, and praying for our leaders, and doing what has been given to us as American citizens in voting and in speaking out and being resolute. But God, that it would ultimately be a resoluteness on the gospel of Jesus Christ, on the foundation. Our joy and our hope would be set on that foundation. And even now as we go into this service, we wouldn't be distracted. Our minds wouldn't be distracted with these other things, COVID things, election things. But we would stand before, even if those things are in our hearts, that we'd be able to bring them. And we'd be able to overshadow them and overcome them with the praises of the King and the ruler of all the earth, and the one who sits on the right hand of God and has all things and all authority and all power, and everything else has been put under his feet. And we'd rejoice in that, and we'd praise you in that, and we would look forward to tomorrow, and we would look forward to Tuesday and Wednesday and whatever days and weeks and months we have left after that, because we serve the King. So this morning we come to give you our praises. We come to give you our offerings. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.